Let's take a look at the presence. Not gifts under the tree, but the presence of the unseen, the divine. You know what you're attracted to, what gets your attention, I mean. Some people have scanners. They like to see what's going on or to hear what's going on all around them. Reminds me of my grandmother, my dad's mom, and those party lines, you know. Been talking about that in recent days around here, remembering the party lines of the valley through here. Grandma, yeah, I'm still young enough or old enough or whatever to know about the party lines. Grandma had one. Somehow she knew what ring was hers and what ring was Kobucks and what ring was Walks and what ring was Hammonds. She knew which one belonged to which one. And for some reason, at various times, she was just a little curious. I don't know why it always happened that way, because you could tell when somebody picked up the phone, couldn't you? Do y'all remember? Y'all young enough to remember that? What's that? We used it, he says, yeah? You know, it's something about it. And when the phone rings, you kind of just automatically, whether you have a big curiosity streak or not, you kind of wonder what it is. Scanners are along the same line. The excitement of that scanner, you know, your life's a little boring. It's just humdrum going from day to day, the mundane of living. And the scanner goes off. Police department's been made or been contact, or the fire department's been contact, and you know, you're just curious as to what's going on. Trucks go by, the ambulance goes by, the police goes by. There's a drawing, just something about hopping in the vehicle to go find out what it is. There's two types of people that come to Jesus. One is found in John chapter 6. Jesus speaks about these people that come to him. Verse number 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." I wonder if those people understood that he wasn't praising them. That's not a blessing. They were coming to Jesus because of the program, the loaves and the fishes, the emotionalism. We can have and put on some emotion. We can try to put on a program. And there's some people that are putting on programs. Sometimes they work and draw crowds. Sometimes fall flat on their face. It could be the same program in one place as another. One of them works and one of them doesn't. But when a person is using programs or emotionalism, it seems as though that you come down to the same thing where Jesus is looking at. The people are only seeking after that particular part, the emotion. They're only seeking after what it physically benefits them. Thousands of people gathered that day. Thousands of people were there. They saw the miracle of the multiplication of the fish and the loaves. They saw all that was taking place and all the baskets that were gathered up at the end. But Jesus, in his knowledge and his discernment, said, "You didn't come because of the miracles. You came because it was a free lunch." You know people like that. I've seen it at church dinners. You can get people to come to church if you have a church dinner. I probably shouldn't announce it, but Merrill and Judith get to go to a church every year where they have fried mushrooms in that time of the year. What a big spread. And I tell you what, it's almost worth, well, no, Sounds like from year to year, different times, or different years, they have had some tremendous, an abundance of fried mushroom at that church. How many of you would go? Fried mushrooms, free. You didn't even have to go hunting for them. You didn't have to fry them. It's just there. Pick them up and eat them. A lot of people are that way. I've seen people go to church. They're not part of the church. They're not members of the church. They don't attend the church. Except for when there's a pitch-in dinner. And they'll bring all of their family, and sometimes large family. And they will bring something to contribute. And it might be a bag of chips. Well, at least they contributed. But what are they there for? They're there not because of the service prior to or following. They are there because of the program of the free meal. I'm not necessarily knocking it. I'm not trying to condemn anybody that does that necessarily. That's not my point tonight. My point is that Jesus recognizes that there are some people that only show up when the program's right. When the program reaches a point of personal desire, maybe it's free food or free entertainment. We can flip over to Luke's Gospel chapter 7, though, and find somebody who is not a part of that group. This person showed up because of the presence, because of who it was. Oh, I realize that this individual is knowledgeable to us. We know about it. As a matter of fact, I've mentioned this particular story recently. But this person came uninvited, but heard that he was there and showed up. Luke chapter 7. One of the Pharisees in verse 36 desired him that he would come, or he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Did you notice why she came? It wasn't because she was invited to the free meal. She came because she heard that Jesus was in the house. We don't really know an awful lot about her. We don't have a background here to really get into to understand who she was or what she was. What it was that drew her, we don't really understand exactly. Maybe it was conviction. Maybe it was a hunger that there was something real in the life of Jesus, and because of all of her life was fake, she wanted something real. She wanted some hidden manna from heaven. I'd like to think that there was something to do with an old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction that broke her heart and drew her to the presence. Presence with a capital P. The presence. The article "the" changing presence from just the common to the supernatural. The one. Wonder what it would take. Let's speculate here a little bit. Let's allow our imagination to wander a little bit tonight. Not far, but just a little bit tonight. I wonder what it would take for the little church on Wiseball Road to be the center of gossip among our communities, that there's something extraordinary taking place. Presence, the presence. That the gossip would be, the rumor would be that the people of the church have invited the presence of God to come, and He has showed up. He has arrived. I don't know what it would be like. I don't know what people would say. I don't know how it would course through the grapevine. You probably wouldn't hear it on the scanner, but you might hear it if you were camouflaged enough and you were in town. You might hear somebody talking about it. They might say that something is strange. They would probably use the word strange because it would be strange to them. Those that grew up in the church, that have been around the church, it's not something that we would classify as being strange, but somebody who has never experienced the presence of God, a divine visitation of the Holy Spirit, would have a hard time understanding what it really was. They would probably call it strange. Somebody may call it a phenomena, depending on what was taking place. His presence, it's going to take more than just singing praise songs or even praising or singing the chorus, "Come Holy Spirit, we need Thee." It's going to take more than that in order for Him to arrive. Let's notice the Pharisee. We want to focus on the woman with the alabaster box. That's a person that we like to see, we like to talk about. But what about the Pharisee here? It tells us in this passage, in this section, that the Pharisee desired Him to come. Desired Him that He would eat with him. We could probably spend a little bit of time tonight talking about how strange that was. Pharisee inviting Jesus. That's an odd sort. What was going on? Was the Pharisee trying to trap Christ? Because that's what seems like the Pharisees often wanted to do. They wanted to get Him in a bind. They wanted to find out some way that they could condemn Him and convict Him and kill Him. Was that the desire of this Pharisee, or was it something more? We may not really have a full answer to it, although it really doesn't give us a whole lot of indication that He trapped Him or tried to trap Him. He desired Him to eat with Him. He invited Him to come. That's easy enough, isn't it? For us to desire Him to come. It's easy enough for us to say within ourselves, even before we walk through the doors of the church, "Come Holy Spirit." We could say it with passion. We could sing it with real inward desire. "Come Holy Spirit, we need Thee." Maybe I should pause here and just ask the question, are you praying that? Are you singing that? Is that your cry as you come to church? "Come, Holy Spirit. Manifest yourself in the service. Make your presence known so that we can know that you're here, so that people can know that you're here, so that people can be attracted to the service because of the presence." Not because of the program. The opportunities of the program. The physical benefits of the program. The emotional benefits of the program. The ego benefits of the program. But because of the presence. He desired Him to eat with Him. But then I noticed something else. You won't find it in this passage, but I believe it's valid. And that is that the Pharisee, in his desire for Jesus to come, I believe that he probably had to change his schedule. Why do I say that? It's because they were busy doing a lot of things. And I say that because you and I are busy. It's not mere speculation on our part. You and I are busy. We have a lot of things going, some of it legitimate work in the kingdom, some of it legitimate work in the family, some of it legitimate work in our lives that needs to be accomplished, that must be done. We can be so busy even about the Father's business that we fail to change our schedule to see that He comes, or to make it easy for Him to come, or to make it so that He knows that He is invited. I have set aside the time. Come and eat with me. Boy, I could give examples of changing the schedule. Because God says, no, you need to do this and not what you planned. Maybe some of you know those days and those times. Schedules change. What about changing our schedule in an effort to show Him, or to tell Him, for Him to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our heart wants Him to come? Desired Him to eat with Him. We also then would notice, and we can find this in this passage, that the Pharisee provided the meal. In other words, it cost him something. I know that sometimes, quite often, more often than not, that it's easier to lay out a $20 bill than it is to cost us something else in the way of time or in some other effort. It's easier to lay down the cash. Maybe not for everybody because cash is so tight, but for the most part, it's easier for people just to open up the billfold than it is to change the calendar. I mean their calendar. My calendar. He paid the price. He provided the meal. He gave in an effort to see that Jesus would come to His place. Now we can venture into a little bit of speculation again. How did this woman know that He was there? Did she see Him go? Let's see here. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat. So maybe she didn't see Him go, but she heard that He was there. What happened? Is it possible that the Pharisee told somebody, hey, you won't believe this, but Jesus is coming to my house today. We're going to have a meal together. Maybe he said it at the barbershop. Maybe he said it at the Walmart line. Somebody heard him say it. Somebody he told, and the story began to spread to where it came to this person, this woman of the city. He told someone else, and the news began to spread. Not because he wanted it to, not because he was trying to, but simply because the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, was made known to be in his place. You know, we can advertise, and it's not a bad thing to advertise, but the best advertisement is simply the presence of God being made known. Again, we don't know much about the woman, but she was probably, very likely, as we see the story unfold, she was a woman that was tired of the sinful life. She was sick of Satan's medicine. She was hungry for some manna from heaven. She didn't know what it was, but she was hungry for it. She was thirsty for some living water. She didn't know what it was, but she was thirsty for it. She didn't understand all that was there, but she was hungry and thirsty. She desired, she knew that this person had something that she longed for. And so she came and stood at his feet. It's hard for us to picture this because we don't have a meal like this. Again, this is one of those stories that as a child it was hard to grasp, it was hard to understand because you're sitting at the table and somebody comes and stands behind you, but at your feet, doesn't add up. So we have to understand the context, and it really doesn't apply too much here, but she stood at his feet. Somebody penned these words. She possibly hadn't planned on doing all that she did do, but the monstrous load of shame and guilt, the heartbreak of so many broken promises began to wash over her in the presence of this one, that she couldn't contain the tears anymore. They began to splash down her cheeks onto his feet. She noticed and felt bad, so she knelt so she could dry the tears from his feet with her hair. She became so engrossed in what she was doing, forgot where she was, just thinking about who she was kneeling by, and began to kiss his feet like a mother her child when he's been hurt, saying, "Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry." You see, she was drawn by the presence, not by the program. She was drawn because there was an unseen drawing. It wasn't a big advertisement. It wasn't a big campaign. It wasn't something that was going to splash over and bless her in prosperity or in temporal gains. But it was a presence that made her realize that there was an emptiness within her soul, a hunger within her heart, and this one, this presence could meet that need. We may not try to put on a big program. It may not be part of our makeup to put on a big program. It may not be a part of our constitution to put out a constant deal of free food. If you will come to church, we will feed you. What we must have is the presence. We must have God in our midst. It must be so that people can hunger, so that people can know, so that there can be a developing hunger within the soul for something more than what this world and the emptiness of this world has to offer. Two types of people come to Jesus. They come, as Jesus said in John 6:26, they come because of the program. They come because of the loaves and fish. They come because they could be satisfied on the physical level. But then we see in this passage of Luke 7 that there's others that come because they can be satisfied on the spiritual level because of His divine presence. Now, we are in the position of the Pharisee. We don't want to call ourselves the Pharisee because we don't like what the Pharisee represents on many occasions. But we are in the place of the Pharisee. It is up to us to desire Him to come. It is up to us to request Him to come, to invite Him to come, to make it easy for Him to come, to let Him know that we welcome Him, to pay the price for His presence, to change our schedules so that His schedule can be met, for His presence to come, longing for the divine intervention of the Holy One of God to be in our midst. Let's stand together tonight. singing the chorus, "Come Holy Spirit," is not the key that's going to unlock the door of His presence every time. But it must always be our heart prayer, our heart song, "Come Holy Spirit." And our life show forth the reality that we hunger for Him, we desire for Him, we welcome Him. To see His presence, to have His presence among us. Praise God. Every heart clear this evening. Thank God for the good day, for His blessings of the day. Trust you have a good week. Enjoy His blessings this week. Praise God. Carla, would you dismiss us in prayer?